Now, in front of me, morning, Martin.
Morning.
I've got a very, very, very interesting man. We've just been sitting and talking for 20 minutes. And it's one of these conversations I just could carry on, because you've got a view on life that I've never seen.
Right.
And I've got to say, it's a view I don't want to see.
I didn't want to see it.
This is Martin Edwards, and you've just released a book. There's going to be a book signing in WH Smith's this Friday between 4 and 6, is
That's
that
right? Brentwood, yeah.
Now, you've had started off a very hard life, you were telling me. Ultimate Survivor, the book's called.
That's right.
And I totally understand it after we've been talking why you've called it that.
Yeah.
Your ex-Special Forces.
Yep.
And you were treated very roughly by your father.
Yes, I was.
And you joined the Marines at 15, is that right?
No real, apart from smoking when I was talked to by my grandmother at the age of 4. My dinner money, you used to get half a crown, which is 2 and 6, which is 12.5p for those that aren't okay with it.
Yeah.
I used to spend on a packet of cheese and onion crisps.
Yeah.
2 ounces of cheese. And 5 Park Drive cigarettes from a machine.
Did you?
Every day.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
See, I don't suppose anybody batted an eyelid over that back then. See, that's it's quite shocking
my
how things have changed. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you were saying to me earlier on that your father...
He was very cruel.
He hit you quite a bit, didn't he?
He used to beat me with the buckle end of his belt, which progressed to a fishing rod with the eyes still in it on a bare back. And, yeah, my bathwater was usually pink with the blood.
That's terrible.
It wasn't good.
That's terrible. No. I'm so sorry you had to go through
that's
that.
That's fine.
So we all understand now at that particular point, if that's how you were treated at home, why you would want to leave home.
Yep, at 15 and a half.
And go into the Marines. What was that like?
Well, I thought I was escaping abuse. It changed from physical abuse to sexual abuse by a corporal for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you went, that must leave a big imprint on your mind, a distrust of people immediately.
Yeah, that part I buried until I wrote the book, and the book took me 2.5 years to write.
Yeah.
Because it was traumatic, to say the least.
I can imagine.
And, I got over it by, I reacted. I had what I call now the red mist.
Yeah.
And people were hurt that were hurting me, which I couldn't do to my father, but I could do to these.
Yeah.
And it stopped. And that's why I say, you stand up for yourself and it stops.
Yeah.
But while I was being abused by my father, because I then became a victim, I was really bullied badly at school.
Yeah.
And, you know, my advice is to find an adult that you trust.
Yeah.
Because what I did was take a bottle of aspirin.
Really?
12.
Oh, wow.
And collapsed in the school toilets, and they found me and took me to hospital.
I'm so sorry you've been through this, Martin. I really am.
Yeah, it's but again, it's this is why the country's biggest publisher said they'd publish my book if I left out that part.
Yeah.
And just concentrated on the undercover special forces, mercenary in Uganda, bodyguard to the Saudi royal family. That's what they wanted. And I said, well, that's not why I'm writing the book. I'm not writing the book to make money.
Yeah.
Because all the money goes to military mental health and vulnerable children, because I suffer both.
Yeah.
And that's, every single penny will go to that.
I'm definitely going to go out and buy the book for that reason, because the money's going to a fantastic cause. So you went into the Marines. You had a problem with a ship in the Marines, didn't you?
Well, yes. Unfortunately, I got a girl pregnant.
Right.
And I'd been with her to help her through a termination.
Mm.
And I came back on the ship. And this leading hand, which is the equivalent of a corporal, which was senior to me, made a derogatory remark about her. About who she'd been with. So his head wore the taps.
Oh, really? You just the red mist again?
And I came down to the below decks to my mess square, where about 6 Marines were asleep. And I got into my top bunk, and all of a sudden I was on the floor, and the duty watch of seamen were dragging me upstairs.
Right.
So I was in my sleeping bag, so I could hardly fight. So they got me upstairs, I got out of the sleeping bag. Lieutenant Blackmore, his name was, the number two of the ship. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "We're waiting for the shore patrol to take you to the Citadel, which is a holding prison."
Right.
I said, "You ain't." So I put the steel stool over his head.
Oh.
And I went down, and somebody tried to grab me, so I pulled him down. He hit the deck. And then for the next 7 hours, a variety of people tried. What I did was I put myself in the corner with a fridge and various objects to throw, which was marlin spikes, knives, 2 pound tins of jam,
which was an
army issue. Made a good
army
weapon.
Issue jam.
So they all had to come through a narrow gap. So then the fleet master at arms came in and he said, "You're facing 2 years in prison." I said, "You have to get me off first." He said, "Well, you go make myself a cup of coffee and we'll talk about it." I said, "I'm going to go up there." He said, I said, "Do you think I'm silly?" I said, "You've got 10 seconds to get out of here." Now, he used the same as the chief commissioner of police in the Navy.
Right.
So he went. And then they sent in Legs Diamond.
Right.
Who's 6'6".
Oh, Legs Diamond.
Head of the shore patrol.
That's a name.
Of the dockyard.
You ain't going to forget that, are you?
No. Brute. But he had to stoop to come through.
Oh, really?
The deck. I had no ammunition left, but the fridge.
He threw the fridge at
him. Fridge up and knocked him out.
Oh, Martin.
I'll never forget the head being dragged backwards through the gap.
Now, because of this, you was approached for special missions, wasn't you?
I was approached to join a unit, a special forces unit.
Now, that seems really strange for me, that because
after 90 days in prison.
Because they couldn't get near you, they thought, hang on a minute, we want this man on our side and not fighting against us. So, obviously, because of your training and because of what you've had to go and do and where you've worked, I won't ask you too much about the Special Forces.
Okay.
But you were taken into the Special Forces to do certain tasks.
Yeah.
And then when you came out, you started up a business, you said.
Yeah, I did.
What was the business?
I did the Special Forces. I did a mercenary in Uganda. I got caught in the coup in 85, the wrong side of the coup, which is in the book. I then went bodyguarding for the Saudi royal family in Washington, then training the special police force in Abu Dhabi.
Right.
Came out, went to contract security for about 10 years. And I thought, I can do this. But you see, every company I joined promised me things. And when it didn't happen, I used to turn the chairman's desk over or smash a few desks up because I still had the red mist.
Yeah.
So treason got me to do it. We were going to do an extension on the bungalow, 40,000.
Yeah.
And it was just when they said, you don't have to give all the invoices in.
Yeah, yeah.
You used to have to.
Yeah.
They said, no, you do what you want with it. So he said, start your company. So I painted the garage out, got my friend Ellie, who we're still very good friends with, who lives in Brentwood. And she did my secretary stuff for nothing, so I could afford to pay her. And because of my special forces and my experiences, at that time, security contracts were given by single people who all wanted to be in their special forces or their ex-military. And because of the respect they had for me and what I'd done with anti-terrorism, anti-hijacks, all that, they hired us.
Yeah.
Bit by bit. And 4 or 5 years ago, I sold. It got to 80 million.
Wow.
Biggest private company in London, Ultimate.
Wow.
That's why it's called Ultimate Survivor. Apart from the fact I've had 13 lives. If you go through the book, there's 13 lives I shouldn't be here.
Oh, really?
All right. That's why it's called The Ultimate Survivor.
Yeah.
I sold it for 20 million and gave 10 to my staff. which the accountant just couldn't get his head round.
Now accountants are like that.
You're writing checks yeah. and writing letters.
Yeah.
See, that's the way he told me to do it. So it's a gift.
And yeah.
It's not a bonus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the reaction was great. And then I got some lovely, lovely texts and letters and presents. And
do you know what, Martin? This would make an amazing film.
Well, Guy Ritchie's got a copy of the book.
Has he?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know. This.
His personal trainer is a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Who introduced me to Angelo Jolie at an English rugby match.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, you don't know. This could make an amazing film. Amazing film.
I would like it too.
So you're signing books this weekend. It's called Ultimate Survivor, and the book signing is Friday in WH Smith's between 4 and 6.
Yes.
I might even come down with a copy of the book and get you to sign it for me, Martin.
Anyone that's bought the book, more than welcome to come.
Absolutely fantastic story. I could sit and talk to you all day. I really could. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.